This is KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend. I'm Taylor Clark, and I am here with John Morrow, and we are going to be doing Bureaucracy Now.
Let's go.
Yeah.
How fun.
And today, John has brought a guest. He has brought Carrie Height. Did I get that right?
You did.
Carrie Height, who is the Director of Parks and Recreation Strategy. And in a minute, I'm going to ask you what you do, but I'm going to first look at John and say, John, what else are we doing today? Is it?
Well, I just heard the segue. I just thought maybe it'd be nice to say, you know, nice job, co-op. Last night.
Oh, did you go to the party?
It was astounding. I think everybody and a few extras were there. So it's just nice to celebrate our local food co-op and see a sense of community and have music and food and festivities. So I really enjoyed that. And so did my family.
Oh, you took your family too?
Yeah. They took me.
Well, that's good, and I think they're doing something else later in the month. I think there's
is there
a potluck or no? I can't remember.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
If we've been paying attention for the spot there, it would have told us.
It's true, it probably would.
But so, we were busy.
So I think the moral of the story: listen to KPTZ,
and people. you will have all the info on what is going on in Port Townsend.
That's true, and there's so much.
And listen to Bureaucracy Now, and you will have all the information on what's going on with the city in Port Townsend city government.
That's correct. And so I can confirm that Carrie is our guest today. And I can confirm that we are very excited about that, not just in the studio here today, but to have somebody of Carrie's caliber join the city team to really spearhead some pretty exciting stuff. And it actually involves where we're sitting right now, this very location.
Oh, because this is a city location, the Mountain View Commons.
It's a leased location from the lovely Port Townsend School District, but we've been occupying the space and subleasing for a number of years. And Carrie has a rare opportunity, I think, now alongside partners and the community at large to think about what next in a lot of different areas. So I won't explain it for her because she's better at that than I am, but I would like to welcome Carrie Height to the conversation.
Thank you, John. It's great to be here.
And this is where you get to get closer to the mic. Just pull it towards you.
Thank you.
It's
great to be here, and can't wait to talk to you about what I'm here to do and talk to the community about that as well.
So that's a great question, Taylor. Hey.
Well, so my question is, I was interested in your title because it isn't just Director of Parks and Recreation. It's Parks and Recreation Strategy. And I don't think I normally think about, the Parks and Rec Department being needing a lot of strategic direction. It's just, acquire and maintain as much green space as we can afford, right?
Yeah, in some ways, and I think that Port Townsend's in a unique position right now to just adopted the Parks, Recreation, and Open Space Plan a few years ago, and looking at some opportunities as we face forward in the Parks and Recreation arena. So right now, there's no recreation programs that the city provides. The parks programs are underneath Public Works, and my job is to come in and have a very robust community conversation about what does Parks and Recreation look like for the future in Port Townsend? What does the Mountain View campus look like? What does the golf course look like? How is this community going to create a new pool if we need a new pool?
Yeah.
So just some really heavy lift conversations and wanting to engage the full community and figure out how to put the puzzle together.
Let me, I have a question about recreation programs, but first, you are new to the city staff. This is one of John's new hires, right?
Yes.
This is as you start to enhance your team post COVID.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where have you come from before you joined us here in Port Townsend?
Oh, that's a good question. most recently I came from the city of Redmond. I was the Parks and Recreation Director there for a few years. And prior to that, the city of Edmonds for about 10 years and Kirkland for about 10 years. So really have focused my career on Parks and Recreation. I'm passionate about it. I think that it is what makes a community community and provides health and wellness opportunities and quality of life opportunities. And so I'm here to have that conversation and help be a facilitator.
So my question on recreation was, I hadn't actually thought about it. I was just thinking it's the syllable that follows park. And I can imagine that we maybe used to have some recreational programs that got shut down during COVID. Is that what happened? I'm going to look at John because that's a historic question.
It's a historic question. And of course, I've been here so long. I know a deep history here in Port Townsend. So yes and no. I mean, we're small but mighty. And our former Parks Department, did operate the pool. And that was our main programming drive. And as most listeners know, that changed both with COVID, also with some pretty amazing mechanical failures of the pool, and and also a really great relationship with the YMCA who came in.
Because it's the YMCA that is operating the pool.
They are. They are. And for lots of great reasons, you know, we're good at fixing stuff. And the Y is really good at hiring and programming stuff. So they're doing an exceptionally good job, especially in this hiring environment. Mm-hmm. And I think now's a good time to just give a hat tip to the volunteers who are the swimmers who really are recreationalists who enjoyed the pool and stepped up to become lifeguards because it was so hard to find them. And they went through the training.
That is interesting. And I didn't realize that had happened. I know that there was a very vocal group of swimmers who said, why can't we swim?
Yeah.
And what you're saying is that a subset of those stepped up and said, we want to support this.
They did.
And that's good news.
It's a great story about, like, let's solve the problem ourselves. It's a great story of collaboration with the Y. Mm-hmm. And, I think as we try to move out of COVID, I think the whole idea was to really enhance that programming and get more people using the pool and being part of programs. And the Y has just been fantastic in doing that.
Okay. But that's our main recreational.
Yeah. So a lot of people associate us with the community center. That, of course, is Jefferson County. So when I sign up to programs for my daughter, it's through Jefferson County Parks, great partner. And I love how Carrie's already been out and I don't want to say met everybody because there's still probably, 9,500 people to go, but she's met a lot of people real fast.
Oh, good.
And some of those people are, the parks director and public works director at the county, touring some of the facilities like we did last week with the USDA rural development director for the state. So Carrie's just eyes wide open to a lot of opportunities to work with our partners like Jefferson County that does the programming for a lot of that space and uses a community center. So that's where a lot of when people associate parks, they think, where's the soccer? Where's the basketball?
Right. Where's the soccer program? Where's the basketball
and
program?
Top marks to Jefferson County Parks. They do a great job.
Now, is that something where we should recognize what they're doing and try not to duplicate that?
Absolutely. I think that it's going to take all the partners in the community to really fill out a parks and recreation opportunities for the community. Yeah. So you have the Y, that's a pretty loud presence and good presence, strong presence doing the pool, and the county that does a lot of the recreational programs. And in the city, we have the opportunity to talk about some of the open spaces that we have and the trail systems that we have, and really looking at a complementary approach.
Trails would fall under your auspices also, would it not?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So there's trail maintenance and trail building and that sort of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, this is the fun part about how, I just know how Carrie works because she's deeply collaborative and, obviously, 10 years here, all basically as director of parks and communities in the I-5 corridor. That's a lot of institutional knowledge on the subject matter. But to focus that on where we're going, there's also great new staff who actually do the day-to-day. So we have a parks lead, Bree, who's just a firecracker and gets out there and talks to people, does amazing work with her team. We also have Michael Todd, who's our facilities and parks manager. And Michael is out fixing stuff and making sure that the team and the crews are out, making sure things are still cleared and usable and in good shape. If Carrie were doing that at the same time, undoubtedly you've done that before, Carrie.
Yes, I have.
And it's a lot of work on both sides.
It is. Yeah. Sometimes it's hard if you're reacting to things a lot, that to have some concentrated time to do the forethought and to look forward and do some long-range visioning and planning for the department.
So rather than jump into what programs you think you're going to do, do you have a process in mind to engage the community and figure out what they want, what the community wants, and then how we might get there?
I'm starting to think about that. My first order of business in town has just been to meet people, look, listen, and learn, really.
How long have you been here?
The land.
This is pretty
four
new.
4 weeks, five
oh,
weeks,
right,
something
okay.
like that. Yeah. So really, my goal was to look, listen, and learn and really figure out, you know, how best to approach these large topics. And I am just starting to map that out. So I can't answer that question quite yet, but I will soon.
People are hungry, Taylor. And I think so this is what's great about, you know, Carrie starting literally 4 weeks ago and already ready to stump up to live radio, is that, you know, like that says a lot about her.
Yeah, no, good for
I
you.
I hope that says something about the city. We want to actively engage and do so before we have an answer. And, you know, even before we figure out what process we're going to use to get to an answer, partly because people want to know, like you.
Yeah.
And also partly because we want to set expectations about what we can do and when. Just because we hired, you know, somebody at the top of the field in the region around parks and recreation doesn't mean we have a magic, suddenly we're going to do this. You know, it's going to take a while. And a lot of this requires us to get together in rooms with sticky notes and drawing things and having conversations and do some visioning. I mean, you know, that's the kind of thing that Carrie's planning now. And you can bet that the people are going to hear about it as soon as there's an approach that's crafted.
So this would be a chance for locals to pay attention to requests for input and get involved in the process.
Absolutely.
So we don't, because I always hear this thing, well, the city's all doing it on their own and they're not talking to anybody. But I know from talking to you that that's not true, that we're looking for that input.
Absolutely. Yeah it's hard to make I mean, not to take a bite on that comment too hard, but always better. There are always opportunities to up our game and how we engage, but people need to show up. And I'm convinced that, and maybe show up before the final decision happens at council. We've tried to provide multiple ways of doing that.
Right, because the problem is if they show up as council's considering the final decision, there's less leeway for change for changing the proposal.
Right.
So it's really, this is like, what is it, Emily, or early money is like yeast. You know, you try to get in early when you can actually affect the direction that things are going.
I sort of said this on this show before, I think probably with Tim, is that, you know, city council meetings are actually where the magic happens. It's really important to show up.
Right.
It's really important to track what's happening, especially on issues you care about. And literally city council, you know, each member reconsiders their perspectives as comments come in during the meeting. We saw that on Monday. Mm-hmm. But I almost think of it like the speak now or forever hold your peace, or, you know, does anybody object to this wedding kind of moment, where it's not where, you know, a lot of change happens. A lot of it's in the buildup. And
well,
I've committed
we do have a Citizen Advisory Board.
Exactly.
And then that is, I think that's an important place where that input should come
from.
And do they allow the public to join that meeting?
Yes.
Is that? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So
you can make comments, you can join, you can follow the meeting. And then the development of the PROS plan that you know, Carrie was just alluding to, you know, that was literally hundreds of people coming together, filling out surveys, making comments, having conversations. I got to see the tail end of that. And I know what this community is capable of in terms of getting together and talking about things that matter to them. That's the place where the ideas are born, not where the decisions are made. And let's get involved in the early part of that, because that's how people have their fingerprints in it, how they can shape the outcome and actually be really supportive and excited about what comes out the other end.
And so I'm just going to say a shout out. You can check at the city website. If you look down for committees, you will find the citizen advisory boards, and you can find when they meet. There'll be probably a Zoom URL there. I think they're still meeting on Zoom, right?
Most are. You can even look for a vacancy in one of those boards. If you have an interest in the subject matter and some expertise, we're always looking for capable volunteers to be part of those committees themselves.
Yeah. Good.
So.
Well said, John.
Did we just figure it all out?
No, we didn't. But I think it's important to let people know that this is that you're looking for input.
Yeah.
And this is where input comes
from. It's like parks and recreation. I mean, it's getting involved. You don't have to, you know, be necessarily a technical expert. You don't need to have an answer. You could have questions, you could have ideas. You know, it's sort of like my philosophy around sports and activity is like, you know, I'm good at a couple things, but I'm pretty bad at a lot of things. But I like being out there, you know, and one of those things, I'm just looking at the pickleball court. I was out there with Carrie and a couple other staff members and a city council member learning how to play pickleball. And come to find out, my wife can kick my butt. but it was just really fun.
So the pickleball courts are next to the dog park.
They're
right?
next to the dog park.
Yeah.
And you know, it's almost like come and check it out. Same thing with city policy. Maybe not quite as fun as swinging around a pickleball court, but like come get a flavor for it. Kind of understand what, you know, are there issues here that people care about and get involved even if you don't have all the answers.
Yeah. Carrie, do you have a favorite park in town?
Do I have a favorite park? Well, I bring my dogs to the dog park. I love the dog park. Yeah.
Okay.
And been out to Chetsamoka. Mm-hmm. I do frequent Fort Warden, which is a state park.
Of course, that's a state park.
Yeah, but that's, you know.
Good, well, and we are blessed from a city standpoint that we have a state park right in town.
Yeah.
You know, that's a wonderful
and
opportunity.
A county park in town. And a lot, I mean, this morning before the sun came up, I usually go for a run. I got to hit city, county, and state park all in like the same mile. Pretty easy to do. I mean, North Beach technically is a county park.
It's a county park. Yeah,
right. Exactly.
Oh, yeah. And then, of course, once you run up in Chinese Gardens, you're into state park.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right.
I use a lot of the trails a lot, though. I mean, there's trails everywhere. It's fabulous.
Good. And I think that's one of the things that makes Port Townsend kind of, I won't say unique, but at least different is that because of, you know, the unopened streets and then citizen effort to open those streets for trails.
Yeah.
There's still opportunities to do more of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is part of like the low barrier to entry for, you know, being active and being well and being, you know, participatory. And I wonder if there's something we can kind of talk through a little bit here about, you know, what that means for a community, the value of that in the community, and perhaps the perspectives that you've seen, Carrie, in your professional experience in other communities, you know, and how does that look? Why is that important? And what could it look like for Port Townsend?
Yeah, thanks for the question. I think that any opportunity that a community can provide for health and wellness, to people to get out, the fresh air, the nature, there's a lot of research that is out there that says the more time you spend in nature, the happier you're going to be, the more well-being you're going to have. And I think that if we can directly connect that here, there's certainly a lot of opportunity. And to your point, there's also... you know, connections that can be made to try to expand those. But it is a low barrier to entry. People can walk. If they can't run, they can walk. If they can't bike, they can walk. If they can't play a sport, they can walk.
We have a lot of walkers. I find I walk and cry. I run less and walk more.
Right.
Me too.
But yeah, I agree with you. Getting out and getting in nature and breathe, you know, as we have wonderful fresh air here, it's important. And I think we have we're not a retirement community, but certainly we have plenty of aging people in town, and we need to keep them getting out. You know, I had to add, Missy Nielsen is here in the studio
with
us.
Hey, Missy.
And
Missy is the host of Everybody Can, and she's doing a little learning stuff today, but she's taking a lot of notes, and I think she has questions. Would you like to jump in?
I do. I would.
Why don't you come up here?
Well, I wanted to add that as I think about the trail system, it's the low-hanging fruit of accessibility, much like our public library. Mm-hmm. If you don't drive, you can't, you can't get to a state park. You can't enjoy the county park. But with our public trail systems, our pocket parks, our dog parks, it really is the most accessible place where people can be out there and getting their health and wellness, if you will. So it feels like a core aspect that we should pay attention to for our community.
Yeah. There's oftentimes on a national level, the best practice is to develop open space and parks and accessibility for everybody within a 10-minute walk or within a quarter-mile walk. And I would say if you look at the map of Port Townsend and where all the trails are and all of the recreational activities are, and there is one in the PROS plan, in the Parks, Recreation, and Open Space plan, but there is close proximity for everybody, it seems like. And there might be a couple little pockets in town that we can do better on, and we will, but there certainly is accessibility for everybody.
And you've used an acronym a couple of times, and to not assume that our listeners know what PROS is other than how we write, perhaps.
But. It's Parks, Recreation, and Open Space Plan, and it's what John was referring to earlier
that
as well.
That was my bad.
Excellent.
Carrie spelled it out the first time, reverted.
You've talked about what we can do as citizens, but how do we engage through that advisory committee? But is there an actual place we should look, a calendar date? Are you doing a meet and greet with the post-it notes for more feedback? Is there something
Yeah, I'm glad you asked, Missy. Yeah. And again, I'm just starting to develop that process for the community to engage. And so hold on to the post-it notes for now. Mm-hmm. But we are, one thing I am going to work on and working on right now as we speak is the volunteer program. And so looking at accessibility for volunteers. And you do your radio show program for volunteers, right? So there is some connection there. And if anybody goes to the Engage PT website, they'll mm-hmm. see some opportunities for volunteering. And we're just starting to roll out an automated process and more opportunities. So stay tuned. It's going to be green lighted soon.
The other thing that comes to mind is just a soundbite on the distinction between strategic and tactical. You know, your role is strategic. So if you could fly over what that might be.
Right. Strategic really, to me, is looking at the longer term. It's trying to pull a lot of people in, a lot of the community in, and different organizations in, and really speaking strategy. How are we going to strategize to make this happen? How are we going to put the puzzle together to make this larger project happen? Tactical really is boots on the ground. Let's try to get some of our facilities updated, and let's clean up the trails so people have accessibility and can walk, and let's do the day-to-day. So
I really like how you said earlier, you know, there are a few gaps in accessibility for, you know, a certain number of minutes to a park or a trail system or something. And I feel like a lot of us are pretty, you know, excited about that, proud of that, or here because of that. But you also said we can do better. And I feel like that's a kind of a component of this too, is that it needs to be recognized that, you know, we're sitting on this incredible set of, you know, natural community assets. And there's probably
both land and people.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And if we don't invest in that, mm-hmm. not only does it degrade, but we don't see the opportunities to really grow, enhance that. And it is the same thing with volunteers, too. I think the city's taken a very, not a different philosophy, but maybe we're doubling down on a philosophy to look at our volunteer potential in town. And instead of a little bit more passively saying, yeah, you can volunteer for the city. I mean, that is the lifeblood of our community, as mm-hmm. another radio show likes to articulate, you know, and what that isn't right in front of our face as an opportunity for us to both, you know, take that with our natural assets, combine them together, and, you know, our park system gets better, gets better use. We have more participation in the vision for the future, and we're more strategic about how we glean resources from state and federal funding sources, that kind of thing. I mean, Carrie's already in 4 weeks written a state grant application with a likely chance of success. You know, talk about tactical. We're looking at ways to be tactical as we're strategic. So just thought that the natural and cultural and the human and the natural to me makes a lot of sense together. So thanks for that.
All right. I have one potentially just this is the hot button question.
Oh.
There's been I've been reading a lot about it started with something that's down on the Larry Scott Trail. So I suspect it's port property. But then they talked about Kai Tai. We're talking about trash that's being left mm-hmm. by people who are living in yeah. our parks. And I don't want to get into the housing part of it right now, mm-hmm. but I want to talk about the trash.
Yeah.
Is there something, like, let's say I walk down, I see some trash, but it's more trash than I can pick up, mm-hmm. or I don't feel like picking it mm-hmm. up. What can I do about that?
That's such a great question, Taylor. I'm sure you've never thought about that or don't know the answer. So the one thing, there's at least a couple things that come to my mind. I mean, first, you know, there's always a way to tell the city or
right, because I don't think we should wait until the city figures it out on
yeah,
their own.
Yeah,
we might not be part of the city.
I lurk around. I go, you know, I'm on the Larry Scott often. I poke around Kai Tai every day. I mean, I have my eyes out there myself, and I know my team does. But you can go on our website, cityofpt.us. At the bottom, there's a bunch of buttons, and one of them says report a concern. You can click the button.
This is a concern that we could
say,
we talk about this
every
time.
There's a pile of trash in this location. I'd like you to do something about it. And the team and I will see that. I read every single concern that comes through every month, usually after it's been resolved.
Right.
But we take that very seriously. So that's one thing you can do to take responsibility and make sure something happens. The other thing, and this is a shout out back to the volunteers, there's an emerging power around the trash task force.
Oh.
And it's a group that comes together and has been working very well with the city to do cleanups, including a cleanup in Katai. Now, there's some, you know, some regulatory boundaries on what we can remove and when on a homeless encampment, you know, and so we want to steer through that carefully. But, you know, I don't remember the statistics. I believe it's on our Facebook page. But that task force pulled out so much stuff, mm-hmm. all with volunteer efforts, at a huge benefit to the entire community.
That's great.
So join them.
Yeah.
Yes.
I wanted to add that that organically grew out of folks walking on public trails who were yeah. distressed by what they saw. Mm-hmm. It's the Jefferson County Trash Task Force, yep. informally known. And it was just two folks that ran across each other and started walking together and said, ooh, ooh, ooh. And their Facebook page is where folks can connect with that opportunity.
Yep.
I'm glad that it's been caught.
We have a graffiti warrior who's actually, you know, his spare time, and I think the gentleman is over 90 years old, and he's out actually beautifying, you know, defaced public property, you
wow.
know, almost on a daily basis, it seems, because I see him out there
That's
all
great.
The time. I mean, there's so many ways to get involved. And look, we're the city has responsibilities. We're, you know, our team is supposed to do the work to make a city run. But it's a lot of work, and there's less than 100 of us. Mm-hmm. And if we're not doing that in partnership with other agencies or the community,
it's
we'll
not
just get less
it,
done.
It won't scale.
Exactly.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. I think that's a great place to leave it, and I want to say, Carrie Height, thank you for being with us. She's the Director of Parks and Recreation Strategy. I'm Taylor Clark. I'm here with my co-host, John Moore. I want to thank Miss Nielsen for sitting in with us today.
Well, thank you for letting me crash.
And thank you for having me. I appreciate yeah. it.
We'll be back. I think, Carrie, you know, after 4 weeks, this is what you get. Imagine after 4 months. I really look forward to having Carrie back on the show.
And welcome to Port Townsend, and thanks for coming down to KPTZ.
Great. Thank you, okay. Taylor. I appreciate
All right.
it.